The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the STR Show. Love this band. These guys, super cool. The Offspring, Dexter and Noodles. And while Noodles, yeah, very interesting dude. Dexter, I mean, the dude has fucking worked on vaccines and has a medical degree. Really, just a wild interview. Dave Landau steps in as the co-host. And just a really fun episode. Remember, we do this every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. If you're a fan of The Offspring, you could have heard this 5 days ago and commercial-free at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Just use the code SDR, get a 7-day free trial. If you like it, stay. If you don't, just continue to listen wherever you're listening to this right now. That's all we care about. And here it is right now, The Offspring episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Supposedly, at some point, Dave Landau is going to join us, but he's having internet woes. Shannon is producing, as always, and very happy to have these guys on. It's amazing to me that in the years I did radio, which is fucking 16 years, somehow we just never crossed paths, been a fan forever. I mean, 40 million albums sold. They just released their 10th record, 30-something charting singles. I mean, it's one of these bands where I hate this, it's such a fucking hacky term, this band that needs no introduction, but why not? It is Dexter and Noodles of The Offspring. How are you guys?
Hello. Great. Thank you.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Let me ask you a stupid question, because very often I see people say Offspring or The Offspring, just like it is Muse, not The Muse.
Right.
Do you guys give a shit, or is it whatever?
First of all, there's no stupid questions. There's only stupid answers.
Well, give me some time, buddy. Give me some time.
I think we're here for you.
I'm glad that you're clearing this up.
Yeah. Like,
this should be top line, front and center. This question needs to be answered.
It's The Offspring.
It is The Offspring. Okay. Because
sometimes for aesthetic purposes, we'll leave the off because it just looks weird on an album cover.
Right. Because some bands really care that if you say the, like Muse is a good example. They are not the Muse. They're Muse. Do not say the. So I'm just curious about that. Some bands get very, very angry about it. The day that we are taping this, it is hard to believe this is the 27th anniversary of the breakout record of Smash that sold the biggest selling independent record of all time, which I imagine no one's ever going to break that record now because nobody's selling independent records. So that's your award to have for the rest of your lives.
That record will stand.
That's right. And except for the Adele record.
So was that independent?
sort of. Not as independent as ours, I don't think.
I'm not going to count that.
Yeah, I don't count Adele.
That's fair. If we don't count it, I didn't even know she was independent. That's funny to me. Okay, so I want to start going back because this is, and we'll get up to the new album that was released about a year ago and the new singles and stuff like that. But this is what I've heard, and sometimes I just like to go straight to the source and find out if this is true or not. So, A, you guys, I know you joined a little bit down the road, Noodles, like the first beginning inception when it was a different band you weren't in, but you guys have basically been together forever. But when you decided, hey, we're going to be in a band, none of us can play instruments. What do you want to play, and we'll figure it out. Is that actually true?
That is actually true, except for Noodles.
I was a little bit older. I'd been playing for a little bit longer.
So we're like, we got to get this guy in the band because he actually plays an instrument. He's the guy.
Right.
And Noodles, you were is this true that you were the janitor at the school that they went to?
That we all went to, yeah. I was obviously out of high school. So was Dexter by the time we played in the band together. But yeah, I was a janitor at the high school that we went to.
So Dexter, you're in school and he was a janitor at the time, or you were out of school when he became the janitor?
I think technically you were janitor when I was there.
Yeah, you were still there. Yeah. I started pretty much my first year out of high school. I started.
So I looked down on him very much every time I saw him.
I would throw trash on the floor when I walked by. Yeah.
Did you walk down the hallway playing guitar so people knew you played guitar? Like, how did that come about?
I would sneak into the band room and they had a different amp and like a jazz chorus, interesting amp, JC-120. And I would take my guitar to work sometimes and plug it in there and play in the band room, but nobody cared, you know, about that.
I can't imagine. I could think about me in high school. If the janitor was playing guitar in the music room, I think he would get fired.
Like I said, nobody knew and nobody cared.
He's a rebel. So,
yeah.
And Dexter, didn't you learn piano first and then you were the drummer originally? Is that right?
My mother made me take piano lessons when I was 13, which I did for a while. And then I decided it wasn't cool and stopped doing that. But when we were starting, we were just kind of messing around with everything. And I did play drums a little bit initially.
And then eventually it is what it is. You guys been in this inception. Oh, look, I see Dave Landau has joined us. Dave, sorry that you had a little bit of a confusion there, but welcome to the show, sir.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
We hear you fine. Sorry about that. Okay, cool. So
sorry about that, guys. I apologize. They cut off the internet right outside. Second.
No worries. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Graham, here, sir.
Yes, thank you for having me. Nice to meet you guys. I've been listening to you guys since I was like 12, so it's awesome to be here.
Thanks, man. That's about how old we were when we started. So,
how old were you when you all started? When it was you two together saying, "Okay, we're going to do this." Actually, how old were you?
Well, I was 21 because I was old. I was old enough to buy beer. I think rather than my guitar playing skills, it was my ability to purchase adult beverages that was my entry into the band.
We were still underage, so having a guy who was 21 was the very valuable asset
in the band.
You guys were like pretty much on the punk scene though, like really outside of LA, right?
Definitely. You know, LA and Orange County is where we played early on, and then started taking road trips up to the Bay Area, out to like Las Vegas or Phoenix, down to San Diego, things like that.
Isn't there like a curse in the punk scene? I think Green Day went through this too. Like once you become successful, you can't be punk anymore. Is that still a true nonsensical thing?
Not so much anymore, but when, you know, Smash and Dookie came out, we both received a lot of backlash.
It was very much a thing back then.
Yeah, it's such a stupid thing. Like, God forbid. Oh, sorry. The music we love made it big. Now we can't listen to it anymore. It's so stupid.
Exactly. Yeah.
You guys the same year though, right? Like Green Day, Dookie, and Smash took off at the same time, but you guys were an indie label.
A month apart.
That's what I thought. Yeah, because I remember I bought them at the same time at Sam Goody.
Sam Goody. Yeah.
I bought those two and the Everclear album. They all came out at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, I bought all three albums. I think it was, you know, within a month of each other, I bought all three albums. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, Smash. And then I went back and bought the old stuff because I didn't know. And I went back and I liked the punk sound. It was really cool.
And by the way, guys, even though it's like a year ago, I try and do research and delve into the world of the bands that we bring on the show. And Dexter, you are a pilot, amongst other things. And I watched you do cockpit karaoke. And is it the actual guy that said keep them separated in the song?
That is the guy.
Yeah.
Who is that guy? What's the story with that guy?
Yeah, he was a friend of ours he was a fan first. He would show up back in the 90s late 80s. And he would yell at us to play Black Ball, which was a song off our first record. So I guess it was like 90. Mm-hmm. He started showing up and he was kind of intimidating. And we're like, we either got to like just completely avoid this guy or make a friend out of him. And so we became friends with him. And he's been a friend ever since. Really funny guy. His name's Jason McLean. We call him Blackball because that was the song he kept yelling at us to play.
And we had him sing the Keep Him Separated line.
Why did you decide? Like the story I heard, which I don't know if this is true or not, but that you were obviously it's been well known that Dexter, you were also have a PhD in molecular biology, I believe it is. And you were at the time working with chemicals and someone said to you, they have to keep them separated. And that's where that line came from, correct?
That's true.
All right. Yes. And then why did that go from that's the line to that's the line that Blackball is going to say in the song?
Well, I knew that line wouldn't work in the context of a scientific song, but I thought, you know, maybe it would work talking about gang violence, which was a real serious subject and something that I wanted to talk about and address. And so I thought that he might have the right natural voice for that. He has no musical ability, nothing like that at all. No aspirations. Yeah. But I said, why don't you just come in here and try it? Because it might sound good. And it actually, and it did. It was just one of those
moments.
That's
really funny. I'm amazed. Awesome. Tell me if this is true or not. I have to imagine there's so many companies now that do the underwear that separates the wiener and the testicles, right? Has never a company come to you to use that song for the keep them separated part? Has that never happened?
There are many applications for my line that have yet to be exploited. Underwear is one of them. I've heard that we're one of the biggest hockey songs. Every time there's a fight, they play.
That makes sense.
I think that's been since the late 90s, actually.
If that is my mark on history, I'd be proud of that.
You should be. That's an amazing thing.
The hockey fight guy song.
That's really wild. I was a strip club DJ for a long time, and I played all your shit back then because all the girls loved to dance, which it seems weird because it's such high energy music, but they love dancing to all Offspring, especially Smash and Ixnay. Those are the two big records at the time. But
self-esteem, not as much.
Yeah. Not as much, no, but we Gone Away was a big one for us.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah, it does happen. Yeah.
And then what shocked me in watching some interviews with you guys, you've been, you know, mainstay in the rock world for so long, but how you've not met a lot of other big musicians like Noodles. You were talking about you just met Slash a year ago. And how is that possible? Like, why did you guys never, do you not hang out with other rock stars? That's how I always see it.
We don't really. We don't, you know, we don't go to like Hollywood parties, you know, we don't hang out at the Playboy Mansion or never did when it was a thing.
We're nerds.
You know, yeah, we're just
good.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't want to associate, we're just not invited.
Oh, that makes sense. By the way, having only known you guys for 5 minutes, I see it. You know, I get it.
We haven't talked to you in 25 years.
Yeah. Also, I have to ask, because you do have a pilot's license, Dexter, did you ever fly with Bruce Dickinson? He's got a pilot's license too.
Never flown with him. We talked airplanes a few years ago in Europe. It was really, really fun and hilarious.
Okay. He's a good dude. I interviewed him a few times in my old show, the show that you guys avoided for 25 years, but he was always a super cool dude. And then when I was thinking about other, like, you know, quote unquote smart or degreed musicians, I believe Brian May has a PhD also. Did you guys ever swap, smartness of any kind?
No, we've met a couple times at just like awards things or whatever. It was before I got my degree. So I didn't talk.
The two times I've spoken with him, one time I was really hammered at an award ceremony. And then the second time I just was so nervous and shy around him. But Brian May is just one of the nicest people on the face of the planet.
I really never got to meet, I've interviewed a lot of rock stars over the year. I never got to meet anyone from Queen, unfortunately. But you got that one up on me. I did hang out with Slash. I got drunk with him a couple times. So I got you beat there, Noodles.
Yeah.
Queen, though, you guys both have the hockey songs, though, which is pretty sweet.
Got
the connection there.
Yeah. I'm going to tell him that when I see him.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
Thank God for hockey, huh, Brian?
Yeah, there you go. It's connection.
You know, that actually, I have a bizarre question, but why not, right? So you guys pretty much consistently every 2 or 3 years would put out a record, right? Pretty much, right? And then you took a little bit of a break at one point, I think from like Splinter to the next one was like 5 years, but there's been now, is it 9 years from the last record to this one, right? It's a big jump, right? I think it's the longest time you've gone from album to album. Is that correct?
Definitely the longest break in between records for sure. We've been working that whole time and touring. My friend here went back and finished his PhD during that time. So we've been doing stuff.
But here's my question. This is the weird question. So, and I do want to talk about that too, but this is the question. I read somewhere, I think it was now 7-8 years ago, that Offspring sold their rights to their music for a great amount of money, like $35 million. And so when that gets done, when those songs get played in arenas and stuff, do you give up publishing rights? Is that not part of you don't own it anymore? Like, is that what happens? If it gets played in a movie theater, I mean, in a song or in a show or whatever, you don't get to any of that money anymore. Is that what that means when you give up the rights?
They're released to the world.
They released it to whoever bought it from you. But then also, I would imagine getting that $35 million check also had something to do with taking a little bit of break. Why not? Right.
Well, I don't want to talk about how much money it went for or whatever. And that really wasn't the point of it. We were lucky enough that we had a great deal that all our Sony records came back to us after we finished the contract. Mm-hmm. Our contract was for 7 records, I think. 6 records. Awesome. 6. And we actually finished our contract. I want to point that we didn't quit or break up. We actually got released from our contract because we freaking finished it or whatever. But those records came back to us, and we thought, you know, we don't want to press those records ourselves. So we made a deal with Roundhill, and I thought that was the right thing to do because we want the distribution to be there. And we do a lot of international stuff, so that's always important to us, making sure how can people hear us in South America or Japan or whatever.
I was just glad to get the check.
No, Noodles.
I took it.
No,
I took
it. Take the high road. It's
gone already. I spent it already.
That's why I'm back.
But it was nice while it lasted. So,
what album are you guys most proud of, if you don't mind me asking? Is it the one you're working on now, or I guess of your past ones, what one is your favorite, I should say?
Well, you know, that really, this is so cliche, but I say it all the time, and it's true. There's all these records are like your children. You know, and you definitely have a favorite child, but you're not really supposed to talk about it in public. Sure, you know,
is there any child you secretly hate?
No. I mean,
that's good.
We're not mad at them. We're just a little disappointed.
Gotcha. You're right.
And also, I have to imagine you listen to what you were singing about 30 years ago, you listen to production from 30 years ago, some of that must make you cringe a little bit, right? That has to happen.
Sure. Some of the playing on some of the early records, even up to Smash, you know, we listen and we kind of go, oh man, that could have been a little tighter, you know.
Right.
I remember having a conversation with Tim from Rancid, and he said he was a big fan of our record before Smash, which was Ignition. And to us, it was not a well-produced album. Our equipment was shitty and all that. And he said he loved it because he loved the vibe that it had. The fact that it wasn't expertly played gave it a different kind of vibe that made it feel authentic to him. And so I try to look at the old records like that.
I always feel
like a live feel.
You can always tell when it's like just 4 idiots in a room in a garage and just saying, fuck everybody, and playing live. It's hard to recreate that in a studio. And it's hard to recreate that youthful screw the world feeling that you have when you're a kid. It's impossible to replicate that.
I think so. I mean, we try it every night when we're on tour, you know, some nights more successfully than others. Yeah. You know, I can still play with reckless abandon, especially after like 2 or 3 beers.
That's awesome.
Sure. All right. Before we go any further, if you're an auto mechanic, a do-it-yourself guy who likes to work on his own cars, well, have I got news for you. We're talking about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. They are your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. And rockauto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy for you to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never quite have what you need, and then even after all that, they're still going to hassle you with storefront markups. But not at rockauto.com, where you can easily find everything you need, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just some dude or chick, it is 2022, working on your own car. Everyone has access to the same incredible pricing. So if you're a car guy or girl, head on over to rockauto.com and check out all the parts available for your car. You're going to just have fun looking at all the car parts. So once more, it's rockauto.com. No promo code needed. That's how sure they are that they have the best goddamn prices when it comes to auto parts. But when you order, tell rockauto.com you heard about them on the STR show. All right, let's get back into it. Let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, because you were saying you didn't really run into a lot of celebrities because you guys didn't really play like the Whiskey or the Viper Room or any of the places when you were in the punk scene, right?
Not until right around the time of Smash. Actually, it was Ignition. We did the Whiskey, but that was really for a surf film. The surf film was premiering. It was a Taylor Steele surf film called Momentum 2, actually. And it was us and Sublime, and we were kind of like, you know, just the live entertainment, you know, while they played the movie. The
short answer is no, we were
okay.
Part of the scene.
Yeah, not yeah, never, never.
Yeah, because on Smash there is kind of like a surf kind of sound to a couple of the songs I've always noticed, but it's not really in a lot of the other albums. like a little bit of a background, maybe to me, maybe I'm completely wrong, but there's like a little bit of an influence.
We always kind of got like the, you know, the Middle Eastern vibe from, you know,
that's
like
a better way of putting it,
kind of stuff. There was a lot of that. We didn't use the, but we always played pretty distorted guitars early on. I think, you know, Dirty Magic off Ignition was one where we started to try, you know, a clean sound. And then certainly the Surfy solo in Come Out and Play was one of the most prominent that we ever used, for sure.
Let me ask you this.
Slower.
Five Finger Death Punch, which is a more metal band, did a cover Gone Away not that long ago. Did you hear that? Did you like that? As I know we're going to get into the new Gone Away version that is all piano that you did on tour for a while and then finally released it. But curious what you thought of the Five Finger version.
Yeah, it's not how we envisioned the song, but we thought it was a great version. It was true to who those guys are. We got to hang out with Ivan a few years ago at a festival in Europe, and a great guy. And he asked us at first, is it okay, you know? And we said, sure, man, have at it.
Is that the guy that likes Jägermeister?
Yeah, okay. He wasn't supposed to like Jägermeister, but it turned out he did like Jägermeister.
Yeah, it turns out very much, I think.
They
need your approval, right? If they're going to put it on an album, they need
they don't. It was a courtesy of them. You don't have to ask. You just have to pay.
But like when Weird Al did the cover, he needs approval, right?
He does not.
I mean, not the cover.
But he always sought it out as well. There was the one weird thing with Coolio, right?
Coolio, yeah. The Amish Paradise.
I think somehow it went, you know, he got the word that it was okay. It probably never got to Coolio. It probably stopped somewhere in management. And it was just a miss. You know, but, you know, he wouldn't have done it. And we, you know, Weird Al came to us. He wanted to do Laundry Day for Come Out and Play. You got to keep them separated. Right. And we thought, oh, man, you know, I don't know. We're not comfortable with it. We just thought we're nerds. And this is, I don't know, honored that he would even ask. But we just felt weird about it. Then when he came a couple of years later, when he said, yeah, I want to do Pretty Fly for a Rabbi, we're like, absolutely. And finally, we were rock stars in our kids' eyes. Right?
That's right.
You know, my daughter looked at that and went, Dad, you're like in a real band now.
It's Weird Al's a real band, yeah. No, you
need it. When? And that actually segues to, I mean, there's two parts to this. So one, you re-released it with Go Get Vaccinated about a year ago, right? So that was that line. Did you, and it was funny because I watched interviews with you guys, and in one of them you said how you don't ever like to take real political stances in online and then, or in general. And then that album, that song came out, which unfortunately became a political point where it would just be science. Hey, you know, we need to do this. Did you get pushback when that came out?
A little bit, but we didn't take it to heart because we don't see that as a political.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it
political
is.
Political thing, you know. The vaccine has saved countless lives. It might have saved mine. You know, when I finally got COVID, it was super mild. I've got some serious lung issues. I was an asthmatic as a kid and I smoked for 25 years. And, you know, I was kind of concerned that COVID could really fuck me up. And I was vaccinated and it was fine. So
I was pretty early on in the vaccination train. I got lucky to get one pretty early, but I get it. And also, Dexter, you kind of worked in that space for a while as well anyway. So you would know more than the average person, I would imagine.
For sure. I saw it as something that was obvious and we did not intend for it to be political or anything like all. And so I was surprised at how divisive it was, actually.
Right. It is wild. So then the other thing is I could be wrong on this, but you would perform Gone Away, a piano version of it on tour for a little while. And then someone asked you if they ever recorded that. And then that ended up becoming why it was on the record. Is that roughly true?
It is. It kind of inspired us, like, oh yeah, well, how come we don't have a recorded version of that? Right. That'd be a good idea. Someone just asked where they could get it. So we decided to put one together. And I was really happy with the way it turned out. Yeah. So we put it on the record.
We just thought it'd be a really dynamic moment in the set. But the fans were like, that's great. You got to keep doing that and also record it. And so
it's funny because it always was like kind of like a ballad, I guess, like a power ballad. I don't know what you'd say that, but it's amazing how when you strip it down and just make it piano, how much more powerful it seems. That really is wild.
Kind of a paradox there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, which I found interesting in researching you guys, that I've heard from a lot of musicians, two different sides to this story. One being if it doesn't come easy to record a song, let it go. And then you guys said that sometimes you just will work on songs for months. Like you have an idea, a hook or whatever, and you bring them together. Like the story I heard that made me laugh, Dexter, you heard in a Spanish station somewhere going uno, dos, tres, and you just kept saying it over and over to yourself. And that's how you worked that into that song.
The cuatro, cuatro, cinco, seis.
Yeah. Right. You just added an extra cuatro. Yeah.
That's true. I was doing an interview in a radio station in Brazil when we were on tour in like 97. And she was trying just saying test one, two, three, but she kept on saying uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. She kind of had a rhythm to it that kind of stayed with me all day. I'm like, I can't get that out of my head. And then I don't know, put in the extra cinco and here we are.
Is that one of those songs that we labored over, or did that kind of come together quickly? I don't remember when we, you know, when we did that.
A lot of times the really good ones just sort of fall into place. But you know,
how it's almost a hook too. It is the hook, is just a sentence, like keep them separated. Just that it's something somebody else said, and then you guys play around it. That's really fascinating.
How about now, like you're gonna go Far Kid, did that come quick? That seemed like it took a little bit longer than like Come Out and Play and Pretty Fly.
That was one of the quicker ones also.
Was it? Okay, yeah. I'm wrong.
You're right. If it doesn't come quick, get rid of it.
No, let the bad times roll. Took a while.
Yeah,
I spent a long time writing Self-Esteem. So, I mean, you can't discount the work. Sometimes you just got to put in the time. If something doesn't work,
right,
you don't want to.
The question is, when do you say, okay, this is not going anywhere? And maybe there's some great gems that you gave up on a day earlier. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have given up on. You know, who knows? It's hard to figure out where that formula makes sense.
Well, it's again, coming back to the children analogy, these are like your children. It's really hard to abandon them sometimes. Right. You know, you're working on hard, but there's some really disappointing children. Dexter likes to say this is where the heartbreak happens.
That's right.
He's got this great idea. We come in here, we start laying down tracks and ideas and stuff, and it just does not come together, you know, and your children will disappoint you sometimes.
Yeah. So you took
it's
almost
to let them go.
Gotta let them go.
Yeah. Let them go in the real world. You took almost 10 years for this album. With the downtime of COVID, did it get you guys into writing a lot more? Like, do you have much more? Are you going to put out another album sooner? Or is it this one and now we're going to go tour? Worry about that down the road.
We kind of do have a lot of stuff in the pipeline right now. We started messing around. We even released some of it, like that silly Tiger King song that we did here, right. Kitty Kitty. You know,
that was great.
Yeah, we did a Christmas awesome, song.
Man. You did a Christmas song also. Christmas that cover. Was cool.
You know, but then we've got a lot of stuff that nobody's really heard yet that we're still working, and I think it won't take 9 years to get the next record out.
No,
and I do love the idea. I mean, what the fuck do I do? You know, why should I make any judgment on this? But the idea of just release a song for funsies, you know, the Joe Exotic Kitty Kitty thing, the Christmas song, it's just like, just put it out. These days with Spotify, why not just put it out?
I know. We still kind of think in the terms of rock and roll comes in records, you know, albums.
Yeah.
At least an EP with 5 songs, but you know, maybe we need to rethink
on
that.
The side. On the side, put out other stuff.
Why not?
Did though? I still look at it like that too. Like, I wish it was all released like that, because I'm still not into that Spotify and everything else.
It's because you're
the
old,
way.
David. It's time to move on. It's time to welcome the youth. They want singles.
I don't. I want albums.
They want a 25-second thing they can put on TikTok. That's what they want.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Also, is it true that you were named after a movie called The Offspring, They Were Born to Kill? Is that true?
No, we actually were called The Offspring before that movie came out, but we did steal the logo early on. made some stickers.
I had a cool logo for the movie. Yeah. Like, we got to take that.
Yeah.
So where'd you get the name from?
It was our first drummer, James, I think, came up with it. We were just talking. We had a couple things coming up, and we knew we wanted to change it. We were called Manic Subsidial before, which was just a punk name that tried too hard, right? And nobody could remember it. And so we wanted to come up with something a little bit more simple, you know, and The Offspring was the one name that nobody hated. You know, we could all kind of live with. Nobody felt super strong about it, but we didn't hate it either.
Right. So
is the logo you have now that logo that came from the band, from the movie, or did you change it at some point?
We changed it quite a bit. Yeah, the font. It really was just the font that we kind of stole from them.
That's pretty funny.
What was your like holy shit moment from the time you were starting to the time that you broke after Smash, like when you realized you had kind of taken off from just being a small band to actually breaking huge.
Yeah. Probably playing the Weenie Roast out here in Irvine. It was a Verizon Meadows, Irvine Meadows or Verizon Amphitheater with K-Rock. That was a big one.
I think there's cool. kind of several moments, right? The first time you got written up in the newspaper, or the first time I actually heard us on the radio.
Yeah, Rodney played us, or would it have been Agent Ava?
Well, way back. Like commercial, like serious commercial radio, but, or, you know, the first time your video got on MTV, those are kind of big moments.
At this point, and I know it's a hacky question, but at this point, doing as much as you've accomplished, is there a couple more, like, you know, feathers in the cap that you're trying to get accomplished in this Offspring train, or not really?
I mean, we're always open for new opportunities. I don't know that we have like a bucket list of things we must do, you know, before our career's over. There's certain things we don't really care about, like, you know, some of the accolades that are given, like the Hall of Fame or the Grammys. You know, so many great artists and inspirational artists have not been, you know, right. accepted in those. So we don't care about that. I would like to play Hong Kong someday. We've never played Hong Kong.
Hong Kong?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Also, maybe meet some of your actual people that are also in the music industry, because you haven't met too many.
The rest of Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, the rest of Guns N' Roses.
I would love to meet the Rolling Stones, the surviving members of the Rolling Stones.
That would be something.
Yeah, I'd love to meet Keith.
Keith, yeah, but while you maybe have about 5 years to make that happen, I would say at tops at this point.
They've been saying that for the last 30 years.
Yeah,
right. He's got plenty of time. He has to outlive everybody talking right now.
Probably true. Also, going back to the Gone Away piano version, for years I heard a rumor that it was based on a girlfriend who passed away, but then found out that's not true at all. It had something to do where you, Dexter, were somewhere where someone screamed, "Call the police," and there was like open gunfire, and that's where that song came from. That's correct, right?
There's a number of stories that is, it's not that none of them are correct. It kind of depends on what day you catch me on, but that was a real event.
Well, I mean, it's certainly any of those events get you thinking about, you know, what if, you know, right, or, you right. know, if I could, you know, do something differently, or if I could change things, you know, so it's probably crazy. An amalgam of all those things.
And also I noticed, I'm sorry, Brian, Dave, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. It was Come Out and Play, really written because of highway violence directed at one of your cars.
That's Bad Habit.
Was it really?
Bad Habit is the road rage.
Which was a real big thing.
I mean, it still is, but there was a ton of freeway shootings and really bad instances of road rage
back then. Like,
back, you know, in the early 90s, there was the gang thing was really kind of off the hook back in the early 90s, you know, in both LA and in Orange County.
Yeah. I remember even an LA story had like Steve Martin grabbing the gun out of the glove box, and it was just like a side thing in the movie. It was just like the common joke of all the road rage. And that's, I don't know. I read that somewhere that it was you guys, but that doesn't make sense that it's Bad Habit.
Yeah. I had a shitty car like we all did back then. My car was an underperformer, and
Chevette. And we used to joke that the Chevette makes them wet.
So I drew a lot of negative attention on the freeways.
Yeah. Like you couldn't go fast enough. By the time I
would floor it on the on-ramp, but I was only going about 45 by the time it was time to merge. Yeah. So I had people threw things at me. Seriously.
The Chevette made them wet, but only because there was a hole in the floorboard. So when you run over puddles, it got everybody wet.
Exactly. Chevette, I kind of remember that. That's good.
Yeah.
I probably forgot that. That was the thing.
All right. Before we do anything else, if you're a fan of the show and you're over 21, which by the metrics that we see is like 90% of you, I want to tell you about the newest vape pen. I know Big J loves it. Shannon loves it. We're talking about MiPod, MIPOD.com. Now, just a reminder and a little bit of a warning, these products do contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. People prefer these because they're more convenient than smoking. There's less smell, easier to use indoors. So if you're a vapor, just check out MiPod.com, MIPOD.com. They're the best refillable vape on the market today. Vapers can refill with any vape flavored juice that they prefer. It's got a long-lasting battery, small, sleek in design, Everybody loves their Mi Pods. They also have a big option for those 420 customers, if you know what I'm saying, and they have disposable options as well. They really got it all covered for all your vaping needs. Just head on over to MiPod.com, M-I-P-O-D.com. Most of their orders shipping out the same goddamn day. And if you use the code SDR, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. That's MiPod.com, MiPod.com. Code is SDR, 15% off. What more could you ask for? All right, let's get back into it. Also, I noticed, Dexter, because I saw like a paper that you put out in the medical world that you went by your real name, Brian. Is there people that only know you as Brian in the medical world and have no idea that you're in a band?
Yes.
That's awesome. That is fucking cool as shit.
You know, I don't feel like I always need to share, you know, it depends on the context who I'm with.
You don't think they heard?
you'd be surprised, I guess. But you know, actually what I think is changing is, you know, when we were younger, your doctors are older, your lawyers are older, right? And now if I go see a doctor, he's like, Arish, he's like, hey, bro, I saw you at the show last week, right? So your doctors and your lawyers become your peers. That's the change that happens.
That's pretty well. Noodle, do you get afraid with flying with Dexter, or you feel confident with his flying ability?
You know, there was one time when I had a thing, but normally, no, he's really conscientious. There's one time when I couldn't get on the plane. I don't know how to explain this. It was a weird thing I had. I don't know if it was just an anxiety attack. I've never had one before or since. There was one time when in the back of my head, it was just like, just don't get on this plane. You're not meant to be on this flight. You're not meant to be on this flight. Don't know. So I couldn't get on it. But other than that, I have Buddy Holly
glasses.
Yeah, right. I know. Nothing wrong there, right? Yeah. No, yeah, just like ominous window, about like, that. Yeah. But no, he's really a conscientious pilot. I trust him more than some of the pilots we've had flying. That's like professional pilots. Honestly, we've gone through some gnarly weather. We've had some, you know, scary moments up there, but for the most part, no, I have no problem flying.
Was it hard to play the guitar in the cockpit like when on that video that I saw, or was it not?
It was a little hard to, yeah, to bust it out in, you know, in a quick and smooth manner, but I don't do anything smoothly, so just maybe and maybe.
By the way, I actually flew a plane once. I took a flying lesson once, and I was surprised that they let me actually take off and land. I would think that was down the road. But my first lesson, they let me take off and land. That's bizarre to me.
Yeah, no, they've got their fingers on the control state.
I know, but still, I just weird that they even let me touch it. Because I could push forward, or I imagine I could have really hurt us.
They're pretending that you're doing it.
Maybe they are.
Hey.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, you're doing it, man. Wow, you're born to be a pilot.
Even, it's not even connected.
Yeah, it wasn't even connected.
It's like when you give your kid a like little plastic steering wheel in the passenger seat. You're like, yeah right. You're doing it. It
probably
buddy.
Was that. Now yeah. that I think about it, let me have my fantasy, David.
I'm sorry, you're a great pilot.
All right. So then, also, I mean, in the stuff that you've done, you also have this hot sauce that sells ridiculously well, right? Was that done by accident, or is that a methodical thing? That I know my hot sauce is better than everybody's. So I'm going to put this out. Like, I know it sells really well.
The hot sauce is a labor of love for sure. I just thought it would be funny to make a hot sauce. I didn't have any aspirations for it, but it tastes really good. And so we kind of put it out there, and it's slowly grown over the years. You know, it's not going to put the kids through college, but I enjoy doing it. And it's kind of a fun thing to talk about.
I love the idea that you could accidentally create a hot sauce and you know the recipe and the bottling came to me marketing. Oh hey, this happened.
I don't know.
I mean, I imagine there had to be several iterations, or is this like the same hot sauce you've been making forever? And then you're like, all right, I'll put it in a bottle. Like, how did you know what I mean? Like, is this something a family recipe or what?
Yeah, no, I wanted to make a hot sauce, but I don't know how to cook, so it made things take longer. Yeah. So I worked with someone I know who's good at it, and we worked for almost 2 years, and it was the magic one was number 8. I think it was the 8th iteration.
The 8th iteration is the one that did it. That's fun.
But there's four different flavors now.
Four different flavors.
That was the first one, just the red sauce. Then there was a green one. Mm-hmm. Then there was a super hot, and then now the habanero.
A yellow.
Yeah. I think it's almost sacrilege that you don't have 5 of them, since you say Cinco twice in that song. I mean, it seems like you should have 5 flavors.
That's right. Huh. I'll get on that.
Yeah, please do. I like that you're listening to everything that I'm saying. Also, there's a greatest hits vinyl coming out, I think, in a week. Is there something special to that vinyl that's coming out for Record Store Day?
You know, I don't think that record was ever released on vinyl, which was part of the thing. And the label came to us and said, we'd like to do it. And, you know, these things, they're kind of funny because now every few years something, hey, it's the 25th anniversary of Ixnay or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like that they try to make a big deal out of it and put a package together, a promotion, and they try to make it feel special. So we're all for it.
Yeah, I think it looks cool. I mean, it's amazing how big Record Store Day has become, especially now with the resurgence of vinyl. It's bigger than ever, I feel.
So great. Such a good thing, I think.
Would you say the highlight of your career is selling millions of records or being in Sharknado 4?
Oh, Sharknado 4, absolutely. Yes. I mean, we lobbied for that. We gave them a song for Sharknado.
It was four.
I think we're in five.
No, it's
we were actually acting in five, but I think the song was in four.
We squeaked in the last movie, I think.
Yeah, we actually got to play bit parts in the last one. We wanted to do it so badly. But we're in there with Dee Schneider, you know, friend of ours. Yeah, somebody we actually met. Dee, he's a great guy.
It's the best one for sure.
So
Dee actually had a podcast on this network for about a year or two, and I gave him the name of it, which I said it as a joke, and he ended up using it, which was I Want to Talk. And he's like, God damn it, I hate that. I'm going to use it. And that was the name of his podcast.
That's great. That's cool. That's great. You know, people we have hung out with, we got to hang out with Ian Ziering when we did that. He was doing this massage chair in there.
Yes.
And I just met him, right? And he's in this massage chair and he's like, it wraps around your arms and legs. He's like, I'm stuck here. I couldn't get out of here if I wanted to. And I said, so if I came over and start tickling you right now, there's nothing you can really do, right? And fortunately, he took it the right way.
It the right way.
But
what did he say when you told him what band you're in?
Oh, yeah. He goes, he looks at me, he goes, the David introduces us. He goes, this is Noodles from The Offspring. And he looks at me and goes, rock band? And I said, yes. And he goes, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. I go, but you're familiar with the genre, right? And he said, yeah.
You heard the word rock, I hope.
Yeah, so.
He's just guessing.
No, we got a real kick out of him. He was a lot of fun to hang out.
Yeah, nice guy. You know, obviously not a huge fan, but he was a nice guy.
Let me ask you, how did Hall of the Mountain King decide make that on the record? Like, where did that come from and why? And it's only 60 seconds of it. Like, how did that become something to do on the new record, Let the Bedtimes Roll?
Well, we're a big fan of Grieg, the 19th century composer who did it. We buy all his records, and it's great.
He doesn't put out as much stuff anymore. He slowed down.
You know, he never got his respect. He never got his due props from, you know, and pop music fans.
Whenever all the drugs really got to him.
Whenever we listened to Hall of Mountain King, there was just something that wasn't right about it. It was like, he was so good, but he missed it by that much. Yeah. And we felt like we wanted to sort of fix history and set it straight.
Nailed it.
Makes sense.
History is fixed. History is done.
It's the time machine.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And also, what is it? Lullaby is also like a minute or so long, right? It's another one that's like a short track on the record.
Yeah, that's just a kind of a, you know, revisit of Let the Bad Times Roll. And we kind of envisioned that as the wind out all the way at the end of the record, you know, on LPs. Mm.
The endless groove.
Yeah, the endless groove there. So we kind of had that.
The song I was listening to over and over again, because also our producer Shannon could definitely relate to this. I don't think she's had sex in 4 years, was the song We Never Have Sex Anymore.
She's still doing
vibe.
That.
She's still doing that. She's still sexless for 4 years. Okay. I think it is.
Well, it's not about us. Let's just put it out there. It has nothing to do with us.
Might be about me.
We've heard. Oh, okay. I thought that was a funny phrase that I thought everyone could relate to and no one would ever say in a song. And so it needed to be said.
I think everybody knows, even if it's, you know, only been a week,
man, we used to have sex a lot more than we did this week. You know? So everybody has dry spells where the relationship just cut some of the passion, you know, waxes and wanes. Everyone's going to be able to relate to it.
I like that you say it is not about us. Like for a second, you thought that I thought it was about Dexter and Noodles having sex with each other.
Oh, no, no, not us.
I know what you mean.
Individually us.
Yeah.
Noodles, do you ever look at Dexter with his pilot's license, his PhD and his hot sauce? And you're like, dude, chill. I'm playing guitar. Shut the fuck up already.
He is the overachiever that I am not.
Because I'm not either.
He has ambition in spades where there's a paucity of ambition in my in my makeup.
The snake, my mongoose.
Does he make you refer to him as doctor or captain?
Captain Dexter.
Holland. Captain Dr. Holland.
I don't hear you unless you call me doctor.
Yes. Hey, Captain, actually, it's doctor.
My dad used to call restaurants when he couldn't get a reservation, and he would pretend to be a doctor because that would usually get you a table in the 70s and 80s. He would just call and say, hello, it's Dr. Sutton. And they would always get a table because they thought, a doctor's coming in to eat.
Oh, funny. Wow.
it's the old days. And then I know we're going to do the first. I want to ask you about the FSU Foundation and the charities you work with. Can you open up on that a little bit?
Yeah, that was something we did a number of years ago with Biafra from the Dead Kennedys. And it was either Fuck Shit Up or Friends Stand United, depending on, what type of outlet we were speaking to at the time. Unfortunately, we haven't done much with that particular charity. We still are always, we get hit up and any kind of, good idea or good cause, we're certainly open to. I mean, we feel very fortunate to have been able to do what we've done, for the last 27 years. And, we find it's important to help give back.
Right. And the Opioid Diaries, obviously he's talking about the big opioid issues in America, which it is wild. For some reason, I always thought it's everywhere, but it's really just in America, right? For the most part.
Mostly America. Yeah. America's it's a big problem here. And interesting is why that is. Europe has some issues with that, but not nearly like we do in this country.
Kind of in America.
Even the countries where it comes from, they don't have the issues that we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I had fucked up my back not that long ago. And immediately the one doctor said, let me get you Valium. I was like, no, I don't want, let's dial it back. Let's just get, I don't even know what it is. I tried not to take anything ever because I just don't want it in my system. Ironically, got something called Baclofen, which had the word back in it, which I thought was hilarious. But it was just a muscle relaxer. It wasn't an opioid or anything like that. So I just used that for a while. But it is funny how quickly and easily they wanted to prescribe something strong to you.
Well, they almost underprescribe it at times too, though, which is why a lot of people turn to the streets. And I've had a lot of friends who've died of fentanyl in the last 2 years. It's really getting to the point that it's gone crazy.
It's just awful. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's gotten to a point that it's just unreal how much of that stuff is out there.
Well, right, people don't think they're doing,
they don't know sometimes.
They think they're either doing coke or doing ecstasy, and it's laced with fentanyl, and they're dead. And that's super scary. Yeah,
it is crazy. Right, on a happier note, so it's at Offspring and offspring.com. We're going to ask the questions, but I want to ask first. There's a full tour lined up for the rest of this year. I didn't pull that up, but there is some coming up in April. I saw all the way through. Is that the plan?
We're starting in the U.S., going out and doing theaters starting the end of this month, actually, the 26th. And we go into about a month, and then we finish up in Chicago. And then we go to Europe for a month doing some festivals over there. And then the rest we're trying to sort out. We were supposed to do a Canadian tour, a cross-country Canadian tour. That fell through because of Omicron. So we're trying to reschedule that, hopefully for the end of the year. But we're, everything's kind of a scramble now. And the thing is there's such a backlog. Like everyone's trying to make up their tour dates. So everything's kind of pushed back. So even if you want to go out, well, the venues are being taken,
I imagine
by other bands. So we're all fighting for concert space. And also people are only buying, tickets to the one or two concerts that they can make it to that year,
Of course. And also, let me ask you, it's a stupid question, but with so much, you said there's no stupid questions, but fine. There's so many hits that you guys have had. I mean, it's crazy. Like 32 or 33 songs that charted in one way, shape, or form. how difficult is it to put that set list together? Because you're going to piss people off and you want them to hear some of the new record. Are there songs that you like that you wish you could put in? How hard is that to put together at this point?
Yeah,
we all have our pet songs from what we call the deep cuts. Like on this new record, everyone wants to hear Hassan Chop.
Right.
You know, we're probably not going to do that at some of the like the festivals we do, because the festivals has got to be a stripped down set list, mostly just come out and do the hits or limited to an hour. But when we're doing some of our own headlining shows, you know, I'd love to put in, you know, everybody's favorite song, but you just can't get to them. So you're going to disappoint some hardcore fans out there that really want to hear their particular favorite deep cut, but you can't get to them all.
Dave, before I ask the first, do you have any other Offspring questions before we do the first?
Yeah. What's the best venue you've ever, best venue you've ever played, like your favorite?
Oh gosh. Red Rocks, of course, in Denver's.
Red Rocks comes to mind.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. There's some ancient Roman amphitheaters that we've played. Like there's one in Lyon, France, that's great. There's another one in another part of France that was, it seemed even older. And, you know,
back in the early days, we did a laundromat in Lubbock, Texas. That venue stands out. And I think they had a genius marketing idea. They would have a laundromat and next door they would have their own bar. I think the whole place was called Suds. I think it was something like that. And so we played in the aisle with the washing machines and it was great.
That's there awesome. Used to be a gym here in the city that was a gym and a laundromat, because about an hour for doing your laundry is about the time for a good workout and that, but if somebody never caught on, it was a great idea. I don't know why it didn't work.
We're going to do concerts the same way. We're going to only play next to laundromats.
That makes sense.
Dig it start out. Your load, go see the show.
A few day festivals, you can make some money.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Shannon, we're going to hit the first right now.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, the first concert you went to, but ideally something we heard of, not some local band we've never heard of. And we'll start with you, Noodles, the first show you went to.
Well, the first real, I mean, I've been to some punk rock shows people might not have heard, but the first real concert I went to was Rush and 38 Special at the Forum in Inglewood, California. Wow.
That's awesome. Cool. How old were you?
Oh, 16, maybe.
That's cool. That's right. Were you playing guitar already at that point?
Not really. No, I was really into, I mean, and I was more into the punk rock scene at that point. But a friend of mine got us tickets. He wanted to go. He's a good friend of mine. And so I think
Did you want to see either band or did you kind of just tag along?
I did get into Rush for a while. I had my 2112 phase, right?
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. That's fun. And you, Dexter?
Well, I always say if I can have the sex and drugs, I can do without the rock and roll, actually. I don't know. I have missing persons, probably. 83.
Oh, wow. 83. Okay. That's fine. Now.
Irvine Meadows.
And were you, would you go on your own volition? You were a fan or did someone bring you?
Oh, I wanted to go. They were getting played a lot in K-Rock and Bow Wow Wow was opening up for them. And I liked both those bands a lot.
Oh, that's cool. All right, now what about the first drug you ever did, ideally after weed, unless weed was not the first drug you ever did?
Yeah, we never really got into drugs. I did experiment personally with some hallucinogenics, and when I was 18, I had a friend, his name is Wind, who followed the Grateful Dead around. If there's any Grateful Dead of heads out there, you might know Wind.
Wind?
Wind.
I've never heard the story.
It's That's Wind. Great. His real name is, I knew him as Jeff, but he goes by Wind. He still goes by Wind. No, it's Wind.
Okay.
Like the wind, you know. Okay. And he got some really good windowpane acid, and I took acid for the first time at a Grateful Dead show at the Long Beach Auditorium. Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna do that, that's the time to do it, right? At a Grateful Dead show, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And Dexter,
especially
you
when Jerry's still around.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could say I was a heavy drug user early on. I was a drug baby, actually. So I was born hooked, man. Withdrawal was just a bitch.
I'm telling you, Vaughn, you said that.
Don't tell my mom.
And then now the first time you had sex.
together or
individuals? Apparently, guys, you don't have sex anymore. So that's got to be as individuals.
That's a bummer.
Oh, so it's, you know, the first time's always just sad and pathetic. And it was with me, you know, and it's clumsy and not knowing what I was doing.
Yeah. How old were you?
14.
Oh, that's young. That's pretty young. Yeah,
good for you.
Was she older?
She was maybe a month or two.
Oh, okay.
But she was way more into it than I was.
Wow.
I was like, so I just was petrified. I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's all of us, but that's cool though. 14. That's interesting. They both were 14. And you, Dexter?
But then after that, I just got to point out after that, let's see. My daughter was born when I was 27. So I didn't have sex again until I was 26.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of a dry spell.
Almost as long as a distance as these last two albums. So around the same time.
Yeah, longer.
Dexter, you?
Playboy 1977, I think. Would be the one.
Oh, fair enough. All right.
Do you know to cover the centerfold?
No.
It was just in the mail and reading the mail stories in the back, the little mail-in stories. All right. So it's at Offspring, offspring.com/tour for the tour. As we said, it is the newest album, which is Let the Bad Times Roll, is out now. The Greatest Hits on vinyl comes out for Record Store Day. Is there anything else you want to plug before we go around the room and do our plugs?
You said it all.
Yeah, just come see us. We're touring across the country.
Yeah, you're playing in New York. I definitely want to come see you guys when you hit New York.
Absolutely. Yeah, please come out. Yeah, we're doing New York City Pier 17, I think.
That'll be fun. Fun place.
Yeah. And if we all get drunk, we could change the title to We Never Have Sex Anymore to something like, oh, we made a big mistake last night.
Yeah,
there right. we go.
Walk of shame.
Fingers crossed.
David, your plugs?
DaveLano.com for stand-up and come out to the Meyer Theater in Green Bay, Wisconsin, April 30th.
Nice.
Okay. Shannon, your plugs?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars, and they tell their own personal stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now, guys, do not give an indication. Dave, you've not been a part of this yet, so we're going to try and figure this out. Don't say anything until all of us have locked in our votes. The question is, do either of them believe in ghosts? I am going to say a no to both of them. Dave, what are you saying?
I'll say yes.
To both of them?
Yes, to Noodles. No okay. to Dexter.
And Shannon, what are you saying?
Same. I think because Noodles is a doctor. That
Noodles is not the doctor.
Oh, sorry, Dexter. Sorry. I was thinking Dr. Noodles the whole time when you guys did the Dr. Captain thing. It stuck into my mind.
Dr. Noodles.
Dr. Noodles is pretty good, though.
Great title for the next record, by the way, Dr. Noodles.
That's what you got to do.
Dr. Feelgood, Dr. Noodles.
So no to Dexter, yes to Noodles.
Okay, so guys, do you believe in ghosts?
I do not. Neither do I.
I am victorious. All right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness called The Good Sugar Podcast comes out every Monday, and we're opening up our first location in New York City on 3rd and 69th Street. I do it with the founder of Juice Press, and it's opening, I think I'm going to say June, first week of June, but somewhere around there. And it comes, that show comes out every single Monday. Again, guys, thank you so much for being a part of this. We add a song every single week to our playlist, thesdrshow.com/playlist. How do we not play We Never Have Sex Anymore? We have to at this point. So we'll add that to the playlist. And again, just follow them at Offspring on the Instagrams and go to offspring.com/tour for all the tour dates. Thank you so much for being a part of it. And we'll see you next time on the SDR Show.
You strife. You never even threatened my life like you did so long ago. Constantly used to have a ball, used to do it everywhere, we never do it at all.